Good to be here this morning, ain't it? All right. Tell you what we'll do. Open your Bibles. Your backup sounded a little weak. Do that again. There you go. Amen. We're going to read in a couple different passages this morning. Amen. If you will, open to the book of Jude. To the book of Jude. That's over toward the right before the book of Revelation. And the book of Jude, chapter number. It's only got one chapter. Amen. And we're going to read a couple of verses there. And then I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'll read a couple. I don't normally do it this way, but I just got a couple places I want to turn to and get to, because I got a couple things I want you to see. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We got plenty of time this morning. It's all the Lord's time anyway, ain't it? Amen. I'd hate to be one of them churches where they have to get through at a certain time. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, "Preacher, if you're not done by 12 o'clock, I'm going to get up and leave at 12 o'clock. I said, "Okay." He said, "You going to quit at 12? I said, "No." I said, "Okay, you can get up and leave at 12 o'clock if you want to. I don't care. You can leave whenever you want to. I'm going to keep preaching until I get done." He acted like sort of offended him. But good for you. Good for you, homie. You can go do whatever you want to. I ain't going to quit preaching just because you're afraid the biscuit's going to burn. Amen. The nerve of somebody to tell a preacher that. But there's preachers that'll do that. They'll quit preaching because they're scared of somebody. But Jude chapter number 1, as I said, has only got one chapter. But look at verse number 3. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. He said there were ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 1. "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." Preaching is far more a greater gift than somebody get up speaking Spanish or Portuguese or Chinese or... That's what tongues is, by the way. It's just another language. It's not some unintelligible language that nobody knows. Anytime the word tongues is mentioned in the Bible, it's talking about a language. And he said, it's far better to prophesy or to preach. And over in 2 Timothy, turn there with me one more passage real quick, and we'll see what Paul said. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. The charge he gave to young Timothy, he said in verse number 2, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and it has come, when they will not endure sound doctrine." Amen. They will not tolerate sound doctrine. They will not put up with it. They won't listen to it. They won't have it. "But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables, fairy tales, and things not the truth. A fable is a fairy tale or make-believe. That's what they're turning to. And all I'll preach about this morning for a few minutes is simply this, the lack of preaching. The day and age we're living in is the lack of preaching. One thing we need more than anything in 2013 as we approach 2014 is old-fashioned Bible preaching. I'm talking about real, real Bible preaching. I'm not talking about somebody that stands up and gives a good talk or somebody that gives a good speech. And I'm not necessarily talking about somebody that gets something screams and hollers and makes a big ruckus either. I'm talking about somebody that gets up and delivers the truth. Amen. Preaching is a proclamation of the truth of God's Word. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them by them that believe." The Bible said, the Bible tells us it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. There was a Frenchman many, many, many years ago. This speech has been referred to by great presidents over the last couple hundred years. This man, I can't even pronounce his name, but he said, "America is great." But he said, "I couldn't really figure out why America was so great." He said, "I looked upon her fertile fields and the great industries and all these." I can't quote it, don't have it wrote down, but he said, "Not until I went into her churches and saw her pulpits aflame with the Word of God did I realize why America was great." And brother, I'll tell you, that's why America was great. And brother, I fear that America's not great anymore because of the pulpits of America's not burning with that flaming fire of the preaching of the Word of God. Brother, I'll tell you, we need to get back to that old time fire. I mean, brother, Holy Ghost. I mean, King James Bible preaching, where preachers don't mind getting up and rear back, loosen up their tie, take off their coat, roll up their sleeve, and their blood veins bulge out, and their eyeballs pop out. I mean, and kick up their heels and rear back on their new clothes and scream and holler and preach the Word of God and tell what God said without fear of man or devil. Brother, those days are just about gone. Brother, I'll tell you, I long for those days. Listen, I didn't grow up in the days of great revival or the great awakening. I tell my wife all the time, I wish, and that's probably a sin for me to even say this, I know God put me here at the time He wanted me to be, but I told her the other day, I wished I'd have been born in the 1800s where there was great revival and people wanted preaching and people traveled by train and horse and buggy and they had oil lamps and folks lived rough and didn't have modern technology and they didn't have Facebook and Twitter and computers and cars. Oh, but when preachers preached, revival took place and people wanted to hear preaching. And brother, there was revival swept across this land. Oh, brother, I want you to know, I wish to God we could see that in the day we're living in. Amen. I'll tell you, brother and sister, I didn't live in those days of revival, but I have seen in my day when I was young a time when preachers would get up and preach with power and fervor and some grit, but those days are gone, brother. I don't mind telling you, and I'm not picking at no other preacher, and I'm not trying to criticize or be ugly toward any other man of God, but I am a preacher, so therefore I can say it. Most preachers have lost. They've lost it, and most preachers have lost that power and that touch of God, and they've lost their boldness anymore.
Amen.
Better not say that. I'll hurt somebody's feelings.
Preach on.
I better not get worked up. I better not get excited. The lack of preaching has killed our churches. It's killed our nation. I know what I'm talking about. I know it'll thin your church out when you preach hard and loud and tell the truth. But my God, we need some preaching.
Amen.
We need some preaching, people. We need preaching in our land, across this land, and in our communities. We need it in our family. Bless God, we need it in our churches.
Preach on.
I was reading this morning, just this morning on the internet, I Googled some of the greatest accomplishments. Listen to this. This is what they say, the greatest accomplishments of humankind is this. This is the top 10 or 12. The United States Declaration of the Human Rights in the United States, July 4, 1776. Another one is Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa. Another one is the works of William Shakespeare. Another one is the development of the United Nations. Another one is the Ave Maria by Schubert Bach. You know, the whatever that musical piece is. And another one is the first flight by the Wright brothers in North Carolina. And another one is the development of vaccines. And another one is the first man on the moon in 1969. And another one is the four-minute mile, a man that ran a four-minute mile. Another great accomplishment was climbing Mount Everest. And another one, a great accomplishment by man was the Great Pyramid. And another one is Michelangelo's Pietà, I guess is how you say that. And another great accomplishment was the Olympics. But I'll tell you the greatest accomplishment I think that the world has ever known was over 2,000 years ago. There was a man came out of the desert, and brother, he was dressed in a leather girdle and camel hair, and he was eating grasshoppers and wild honey, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God is coming," and there he is. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Brother, the Bible said, God chose preaching. Brother, listen, the greatest thing this world has ever known is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's greater than the moon landing. It's greater than NASA. It's greater than polio vaccine. Thank God, it's the only thing that'll reach down into the depths of sin and save your never dying soul and put you into glory one day after a while. Only preaching will save you. The hokey pokey won't save you, and singing won't save you. Southern gospel music can't save you. Oh, brother, listen, it'll take saved preaching to save your soul. When God got ready to introduce His Son, He didn't choose MGM or 20th Century Fox or HBO or the Hollywood's greatest. He didn't choose Oscar-winning actors. He didn't choose talented athletes. He didn't choose Shakespeare or Beethoven or Mozart. He didn't choose Pulitzer-winning, prize winners or Nobel Peace Prize winners. He didn't choose the Red Cross or Mother Teresa. He didn't choose the International Peace Corps or Einstein. He didn't even choose Nelson Mandela. Amen. He didn't choose the greatest minds that the world's ever known. He didn't choose explorers or philosophers. He didn't choose Plato or one mountain preacher called him Socrates. Amen. He didn't choose Aristotle or Sigmund Freud. He didn't choose the many men that men count as greatness. But he chose a little old man by the name of John the Baptist to come out of the wilderness preaching. Thank God, repentance, for the Lamb of God has come. He chose preaching. He chose foolishness. He chose weakness. He chose little simple man like me and you to preach His Word. He chose preaching.
Amen.
We have everything in the church nowadays but preaching. Through preaching, we are saved, warmed, fed, kept, called, encouraged, strengthened, rebuked, and comforted. Through preaching, you get it all. A nation founded on the Bible and founded on Christianity, United States. But our country's plummeted because of the lack of preaching. We have theatrics in churches. We have music. You can go to a church now, you don't know if you've been to church or if you've been to a Broadway show. That's right. That's exactly right. Brother, I can tell you a whole lot of stuff. I mentioned a little bit the other night. I'm not going to go into some of the great preachers in days gone by. But you start studying them old-time preachers and what they had. And what we see today, there's a vast difference. Our kids don't know anything about great preachers anymore. That's right. I want to tell you, God can use anybody if you make yourself available. Great preacher said one time, Brother Harold Seitler said this. He said, God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be great. Just make yourself available to God. God chose preaching. And the lack of preaching, brother and sister, is where our nation's at. It's where our churches are at. You can go to the average church. You know what I'm talking about. When you go on vacation, that's the hardest thing about vacation. It's not hard to find a place to go. It's not hard to find a place to stay. It's not hard to find a place to go get a motel or resort or a place to go ride your four-wheeler, your mini bike, or your four-wheelers or anything like that. It's the hardest thing to find is a good church. That's the hard thing, brother, is to find a place where you can go sit down and you can just feel rest assured that the man's going to stand up there and open the right book and rear back and pin your ears back, son. I'm telling you, brother, we're living in a day and age where the lack of preaching is prevalent across our country. The lack of preaching, first of all, leads to a decay in morality. In early America, teachers in our public schools, we was talking about this in Sunday school, teachers used to read their Bibles to their students. I remember that when I was in school. Does anybody here remember that? I remember when I was in school, teacher had a Bible on the desk. She'd read the Bible to us. In public school. Now it's against the law for them to even mention God in the schools. I want to tell you, it's a decay in morality when there's a lack of preaching. Brother, we need preaching. I'm telling you, we need it. We don't need a talking to. We don't need somebody to share and rap with us and talk to us. We need somebody to preach to us. I need it. You need it. My kids need it. Your kids need it. Your grandkids need to grow up hearing old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled Bible preaching. You say, I don't need all that screaming at me. One of these days you will. It's a decay in morality when there's a lack of preaching. We need old-fashioned, propped-up, bug-eyed, Bud Blaine's popped out, sweating, old-fashioned snot-slinging, hacking, wind-sucking, making people squirm, making people uncomfortable. I like it when you preach and women start pulling their skirt down, hiding their pocketbook, trying to hide their makeup. People start turning their cell phones off. Bless God, gets uncomfortable. They act like you're going to crawl up on the pew. That's right, brother. Yeah, some of you looking that way right now, wonder what I'm going to preach on. I love it. I love that kind of preaching. I like it when people get uncomfortable and start looking around. Amen. My God, what's he going to say next? That's right. Makes people nervous. It's decaying morality. Decay is swift. Real preaching will stand the test of time. It's like that old hard wood. It'll stand the test of time. That soft, easy preaching is like that old yellow pine that falls down on your property and you run over the lawnmower and it just chews it up like grass. Up there in the mountains where we're from, we got that locust wood. You ever seen a locust post? Ain't nobody down here ever seen that. We used to make fence posts out of locust. And it's like concrete, Brother Jeff. You seen it? You better have you a sure enough chainsaw if you're going to cut you a locust post. You better. And you better have you a hammer and a big strong arm if you're going to start driving some staples in it. I got some up in the mountains a few years ago and drove up on top of this mountain and got them from a guy. He had dug them up off his property and pulled them up out of the ground. And I bought them from him for $2 a piece. And they'd been in the ground 50 years. And it looked like he had just bought them. They look new. They've been in the ground 50 years. You know what that tells me? That's some hard wood, brother. Amen. Preacher, what's your point? That's like old-fashioned Bible preaching. Hell, old soul preaching will rot, brother. It won't stand the test of time. It's that flesh and that soul preaching, hard Bible preaching. It'll keep the rot out, brother. That's right. We've drifted because there's a lack of real Bible, sin, rebuke, and preaching. Preacher, you preach against everything. Yeah, look what it's kept out of our church. That's why things go smooth, and we have no fight over a devil in the county.
Amen.
Preacher, we'd have a bigger church if you'd just lay off. Yeah, but look what we'd be fighting against, too. Wouldn't you rather have a smaller crowd and have a good crowd than to have 150 and be constantly fighting every devil in the county?
Amen.
That's right. Decay is swift. What I'm talking about is that generic preaching. You know when they say stuff like, you ought to do right. You ought to do right. And they'll say, amen, brother. Amen. But then when you start naming it, you ought to do right. Amen, brother. That's good preaching. Okay, you ought to do right. I'm gonna categorize it and make a list of what you ought to do.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, it's different then. Yeah, make a whole list of it. Make a list of it. You start putting it in a category. I don't like that kind of preaching. Yeah, you ought to do right. You ought to behave yourself and do right. That's right. That's good preaching. But when you get up there and you start making a list of it, bless God, and putting labels on it, I don't like that preaching. Because I'm getting ready to call your name out. That's why you don't like it. Because when it's generalized and it's generic, it can mean anybody. He's probably talking to them over there. But when you start making a list and checking it twice, see who's going to be naughty and ain't none of you nice. You don't like that preaching, do you?
Amen.
And bless God, he's talking about me. And I don't appreciate that. That's right. People don't like that kind of preaching, brother. Yeah. People don't like us. Like that preacher. Old John R. Ross went up the mountains. He's preaching up there in North Carolina. He's preaching on tobacco, and everybody in there grew tobacco. And this fellow walked around the church, and he said, here's $50, Dr. Ross. I said, that's $50. That's some of that tobacco you was preaching on against tonight. He took it. He said, thank you, brother. Devil's had that long enough. His pocket. The decay is swift. The decay is spiritual. You generalize sin, everybody nod their head and they say, we went to a revival one night, this preacher, he's preaching, you know, and he's tiptoeing around, and I kept saying, I was sitting there going, come on, son. Nail it. He said, that's just like this alternate lifestyle we keep hearing about. I punched Daddy. He mentioned that like twice. I started jumping up and say, queers! Say it!
Yeah.
Everybody in that church would have passed slap out like a slab of meat.
Yeah.
Every one of them. Why I say it? We all know what it is.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what you're doing? Every time you say alternate lifestyle, you're adapting to the world.
Right.
You're adapting to what CNN, Headline News, ABC, NBC, CBS, and all the sodomites, their terminology is all you're doing. I ain't preaching to them. God called them sodomites. That's what I'm calling them. I'm a preacher. That's what I call them because that's what God calls them. I want to jump up and scream my head off. He kept saying, and they was going, he'd say, alternate lifestyle, nigga. Then all them old gray-headed women, gray-headed men, I started wanting to jump up and say, sodomite, faggot! I wonder what that'd have done. Just walk up down and I say, he means queer. That's what he means. Y'all don't know. Anybody got any doubts?
Yeah.
Nasty, filthy, stinking queers.
Yeah.
Now, what's wrong with that? Everybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
That's what people need. You say, preacher, you'll get kicked off the radio. Well, at least they'll know what I'm talking about before I get kicked off.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, you say, you preach on that so much, and you're so mean on it. You know why? Because I've always wanted that to be so filthy and so nasty and so deplorable. My kids grow up, and they'll think it's so nasty. It'd be like getting tied up and getting thrown under a garbage truck and all that nasty, filthy juice that runs out from under be running down on them.
Amen.
That's what it reminds them of.
That's good preaching. Yeah.
And have to eat a sandwich while that juice is running on them.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds you of.
Amen.
I'm serious. That's what abomination means, brother. It'll make you throw up. That's what God calls it. You say, you're awful. There ain't nothing compared to what them old-timers used to preach.
Amen.
Call it what it is.
Amen.
What? People say, well, I hadn't been convicted of that yet. Well, that don't matter. That don't matter. No, we're preaching now. Y'all thought I'd preach a while ago. It don't matter if you've been convicted of something or not. If God said it's a sin, it is a sin. It don't matter how you feel about it.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I just don't feel convicted about it. So what? What's your point? I could leave my wife and go get me another woman and say, well, I don't feel bad about it. You know what that means? Not a thing. That just means I'm a reprobate and I'm going to get the devil beat out of me pretty soon. My kids have done stuff when they was little. They didn't feel particularly bad about it until they got caught. And then conviction set in. The minute they got caught, buddy, they felt bad. It don't matter how you feel about it. Listen, if it was wrong when God put it in His Word, it's wrong now. Wrong is wrong. If it's ever been wrong, it's still wrong. If it's ever been right, it's still right. Amen. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel.
Amen.
Decay is scriptural. If salt's lost its savor, salt needs savor no matter how white it looks. If you put salt on ham, back in the old days, they'd rub it. Anybody ever seen them cure a ham? We used to kill hogs. All you kids don't even know what I'm talking about. Heath and Jeff, some of you know. Used to kill them hogs. They'd take a ham and they'd rub salt all over and that cured it. Now you could hang it up in the smokehouse. You could hang there forever. Flies could get on it or anything that wouldn't hurt it. It'd never get dirty. It'd cure. But if you don't get the right kind of salt on it, it won't cure. That salt can be white, but if it lost its savor, you ever had salt and salt sugar and put it on food and it didn't taste right? Somebody faked you out, it's not real salt. Real salt, it's got a salty taste. Salt is good.
Amen.
Salt's good for you.
Right.
Now, too much of it might not be good for you, but salt is good. Salt cures and salt preserves. And what preaching does, is when you get a wound, get a little salt in it, it burns, it stings, but it'll help you. Yeah. It'll cure a wound.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, you get out somewhere out in the wilderness somewhere and you get hurt, they'll put salt in the wound because it preserves that wound. That's why preaching stings a little. Ow! Whew, gosh, that preacher. Man, that hurt. Man, he got all over me this morning. You know what that is? You got that wound of sin opening up and that preacher come on and just poured a little bit in it. That's right. They're so negative down there at that church. I like going to that worship center when we're doing this. It's just a good when I leave there. It's just a happy inside. You need to go somewhere and get some salt dumped on you.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. The decay is scriptural. Number two, I want to say when there's a lack of preaching, not only is the decay in morality, but the deity is mistaken. When there's a lack of preaching, the deity is mistaken. When the power in the pulpit grows cold, anything will happen.
Amen.
If there's no power and no preaching in the pulpit, then the Bible said there in Jude 4, certain men crept in unawares and before were of old ordained to the condemnation of ungodly men, turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God. What happens is, the Bible said, try the spirits, see whether they be of God. There's all kinds of spirits. A spirit will come into the church. If there's not real preaching in the pulpit, a spirit will come into the church. It might not be the Holy Spirit, but a spirit will come in. Something good will come in, and it'll feel good. But preacher, it just felt so good. Oh, there's this feeling just came over me. Amen. Without real Bible preaching, the church won't really know who the Holy Ghost is. And you know why the Bible said Jesus told the woman to well? He said, real worship, spirit, and truth. There's no truth. If there's no truth, how are people going to know who the Spirit is? Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, has come, He'll speak of me. You know, when the Holy Ghost shows up in a church service, He always, always magnifies and glorifies Jesus. The Holy Ghost will never show up and brag on the Holy Ghost. If you go to a church and they're always talking about the Holy Ghost, how much Holy Ghost they got, that's good evidence the Holy Ghost ain't there. Because He don't talk about Himself. Jesus said He won't speak of Himself. Holy Ghost won't show up and say, hey, y'all, look at me. Holy Ghost shows up and He says, look at Him. Look at Him. High and lifted up. It's Jesus. It's the Lamb of God. The sacrificial Lamb gave His life on the cross, shed His blood. He's your advocate. He came to die for you and He's coming back. The Bible said we're henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And when you go to a church, Where there's no real Bible preaching, there's a deity. The deity's mistaken. There'll be a strange spirit. Amen. That's why it's the preacher's job to preach. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. That's why churches have gone from the Bible to screens and gone from the hymns to screens and crayons. And I'm not saying it's a sin to have a screen or anything like that. I mean, you know, some people get hard of seeing. Sometimes I feel like I need a screen to see my own Bible. But I'm saying some things, is if you're not careful, you get all kinds of spirits in a church. Amen? I think sometimes because we're living in the generation we're living in, nobody hardly knows who God is in this generation because of the lack of preaching. Theists say there's no God. Polytheists say there are many gods, and paganists make up a God. Most people now don't even know who God is. The 12-step program says there's a God and I believe in God, and that's why I'm an alcoholic and I believe in God. And you ask them who God is, they don't even know who God is. That's crazy. I don't even believe in that stuff. Hi, my name's Ron. I'm an alcoholic. I believe in a higher being. Well, who is it? I don't know. You're crazy. You're crazy. You can't believe in something like that. You don't know who it is. It'd be different if it said, hi, my name is Ron. I'm an alcoholic. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shed His blood on the cross. Died for my sin. That's different. But you ain't an alcoholic. You say the same thing the Bible said in Corinthians. You say, I once was lost and now I'm saved. But as many as received Him, to them He gave you power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on His name. We know who He is. If I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me, He said. We know who God is. And His Bible said it's Jesus Christ manifest Himself in the flesh. Deity is mistaken. You go to a church where there's no real Bible preaching, anything goes. You've been there. You've seen it. You hear these churches brag about, we don't preach doctrine. I don't know where you get around that, because all through the Bible it says, He says, continue thou in the doctrine. Continue in the things thou hast heard and thou hast learned. Y'all still with me? Is everybody still all right? Because I'm just getting started. Amen. Everybody look at me. I'm going to get mad and preach another hour. Amen. Preaching is what we need. And the lack of preaching, it causes a decay in morality, and a deity is mistaken. The lack of preaching leaves an open door, and people don't even recognize who the Holy Ghost is, and don't recognize the absence of the Holy Ghost. Young people need the absolute devil preached out of them. I need the devil preached out of me. People, listen, young people don't need more programs, and they don't need, young people don't need more activities to excite them to come to church. They need the devil preached out of them. Exactly what they need. I've heard people say, well, that kind of preaching scares my kids. I don't want to take my kids to church like that. It scares my kids. You know what my response to that is? I'm scared for my kids to go to a church where they don't hear that kind of preaching. Amen. There's been times my kids visited other churches, not when we was having church, but gone to revivals with other kids, their friends. They'd go to revival meeting somewhere, and I didn't know the church or another. And I'd say, well, it was all right. How'd he preach? First, I'd say, what kind of Bible do you use? And they'd say, how'd he preach? It's all right. I said, well, did he just ride back and preach? Did he let her rip? Did he just... No, not really. Well, you ain't going back. Well, he used this weird... He used this weird cube, or he used this... Did something strange, or did... You ain't going back. Did he make you get under conviction, make you feel like you need to go to the altar and pray? No. Well, you ain't going back. You ain't wasting time with that. Serious. I want my kids going somewhere where they ain't going to get preached to. Do you want your kids to grow up under a preacher? It's going to make them feel like they're okay and they never did anything wrong. You're right. You've never done anything wrong. You're okay. You've never sinned. You're perfect. You're deluded in your mind if you think that. You're setting your kids up for a kill. I'd be scared. People won't take their kids to a church because of hard preaching. Then let them watch R-rated movies, and then in October take them to a haunted house. Hypocrites. Oh, I don't like them hearing a hard preacher. It scares them. And the truth of the matter is, 9 out of 10 kids love it. Most kids go to a church where the preacher's animated and excited and screams and sweats. Most kids like that. Most kids do like it. Because they like something with a little life to it. Kids like something exciting. Even the preacher don't make sense. They like it. I've seen little kids that don't understand what I'm saying. They're like, wow, I like that. That preacher's kind of crazy. I preached out at a church out in Alabama one time. They as dead as a funeral home at 4 in the morning. And I preached on Sunday morning that night. They were sitting there and they was just as dead. The same time I thought, well, I'm going to fix them tonight before I go home. And I'll edit this out. But I was preaching. There's a bunch of teenagers, about 2 rows of them. And they was all slumped over. I was preaching up a storm and I said something about churches arguing and fussing over the color of the pews and the carpet. I said, I don't care what color of carpet you put in, just as long as it ain't some faggot pink color. When I said that, every one of them lit up. There's like, they all started laughing, all them kids. They loved it, but they got up on the edge of the pew, was pushing each other over on the pew and laughing. They fall all over each other. A bunch of teenage kids. They loved it, buddy. I had them from then on. The rest of the night, they sat up on the edge of the pew like, what's he going to say next? What's he going to do now? And for the rest of the service, I was saying crazy, just off the wall stuff. I stayed right up in front of them after that. And the rest of the people was like, I could tell that head daddy rabbit deacon was blowed up like a bullfrog. They probably cut my offering in half over that. I didn't care. From then on, I thought, I'm going to preach to you young people. At least I'll entertain them a little bit. I thought I got like a 10-hour drive back home and them bunch of devils sitting there. But you know what I'm saying? And people act like it offends them, and then they live a life of carnality and don't want to hear the truth. Thirdly, let me say this. A lack of preaching leaves a door of misleading. Emotionalism will take over. It's a door of misleading. Emotionalism will take over. If there's not real Bible preaching, emotionalism will take over. In other words, people start believing in things that's not even biblical. Well, I'll tell you what happened to me one time. I had this warm feeling, and I believe I'm saved because I had this warm feeling go up the back of my neck. I've heard this stuff before. I had this warm feeling up the back of my neck, and my left leg started tingling. You need to go see a neurologist, what you need. You probably ain't saved. You need to see a doctor. Really? I've heard people say that. There's a guy asked me one time. He went through this big whole rigmarole about this dream he had where he's out in the boat, and Jesus is on this boat with him. That's a weird dream. And he said, preacher, what do you think that means? I said, I think you shouldn't have ate all that barbecue before you went to bed. And I just got up and left. He acted like he got mad at me. I said, that dream don't mean nothing. You ain't base your salvation on dreams. Amen. You don't base your ministry and whether you're going to go to the mission field on a dream or not. The Bible, you know, we base what we believe and our life and our decisions on the Bible. Amen? Amen. No boundaries in their worship. Intellectualism takes over. The Bible said, you know, they get so smart, they became fools. Get too smart and they dress it up and make themselves fools. If you ain't college, if you ain't called, college ain't going to help you. If you ain't called to preach, college ain't going to do you no good. Nowadays, if a man ain't been to college and ain't got a big, great, big, long bunch of letters after his name, people act like he ain't even a preacher. They act like nowadays, if you know, where you been to school, son? Where'd you go to college? Where'd you go to school? They don't ask you if you can preach. Nowadays, a preacher goes to apply for a church and they get a stack of resumes and they want to know where he went to seminary and they got a bunch of people in the pulpit committee looking through them papers. Never one time they ask to hear a tape or a CD here if the man can preach or not. I never call somebody and say, how does the man preach? What about his preaching? People getting saved under his ministry. What kind of life does he live? Looking at his resume. Where did he go to school? Does he have a doctorate? Does he have a PhD and all that stuff? Hey, all that college and all that stuff, nothing wrong with an education, but all that college and all that stuff in the world don't do any good if you're not called of God. Go to college and become a lawyer and help straighten out this mess. Amen. Before being a preacher, ain't going to do you no good. If you're not called of God, sensationalism takes over. Amen? You can have a crowd and not have a church. Amen. Ronnie, come on the piano. Lack of preaching. The door of misleading. We need preaching nowadays, people. If there's ever been a time we need to pray. We need to pray for preachers. We need to pray for God to raise up preachers in our midst and in our generation. I started preaching. I know this feels like a Sunday night sermon, but I don't know. God wanted me to preach this morning. Well, I started preaching. Some of y'all might remember. We're getting toward the end here. Some of you act like you're even bored this morning. But it's going to get worse. But toward the closer we get to the end, I remember when I started preaching back in the 70s. It ain't that long ago. 30 years sounds like a long time, but it really ain't. 30 years ago, Brother Jeff, I remember there was preachers everywhere. I come from the Bible Belt up there in North Carolina. And there was preachers everywhere up there. And they still are a good many. But it ain't like it was then. Now up there, there's a lot of preachers, but everybody's got a degree and everybody goes to school. And they don't nobody preach with any power like they did then. And it used to be preachers would just come out of the woodwork. And up there in the mountains in North Carolina and Tennessee and upstate South Carolina, up around that area, if a little old country church needed a pastor, that's 20 or 30 to choose from. There were so many young preachers up there, and it didn't. I mean, if you was really looking for a church or wanted a church, you couldn't get one hardly because there's so many preachers out there. So, but anyway, it's not like that now. It's not like that. That ain't that many now. It's weird. You can ask any preacher you know that comes here to preach, comes to our Jubilees, ask them. Ask them if it's like it was 20 years ago or 25. Ask Brother Sam, Brother Mike, Brother Tony, some of the guys come here to preach. It's changed, buddy, just quick in 20 years. It's like preachers are fading out. It's like preachers ain't coming into the ministry like they used to be, are they? It's like they were getting called to preach a whole lot. You know what I think that is? The Holy Spirit's withdrawing His hand, and God just ain't calling many anymore because He ain't going to need them. He ain't going to need many anymore because it's getting... This generation like me and us old dinosaurs like me, I think when we're gone off the scene, us old preachers, that's going to be about it. Y'all might be living to see the tail end of it, the last of the old-time preachers. There might be a few left, but the young preachers you see that really, really preach hard, which ain't many of them, it's probably going to be the last you're going to see of them. Old-time Bible preaching. Listen.